You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
There's been no movement thus far on guns by the Biden administration. There's been a lot of talk and no movement. And for some reason, there's a lot of patriots who seem to be okay with this, but it's actually quite concerning. I would be a lot less concerned if they were moving on gun legislation now or gun executive orders, because we have a chance to fight them. The fact that they're waiting tells me one thing. They're waiting for something specific, perhaps an event, would you say?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Let's do an intro, because I have, yeah, I'm so used to just going into it because you haven't been on the show as often enough, my lovely, brilliant, talented, and utterly spectacular in every possible way, co-host and wife. Tammy has been relatively absent lately because she's been so busy. She's doing homeschool, you know, she's taking care of a whole bunch of work and taking care of a sickly dog and all sorts of just things that I would never be able to do if she wasn't my co-host and wife. Say hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
So it is glad to have you. Good. It is glad, and I am good to have you back. Shall we start over? This is terrible. No, we can't.
Awesome.
Just do it live.
Just keep it.
Just do it live. Do it live. So yeah, I am glad, and it is good that you are back, because I've missed you. Our numbers have dropped. People don't want to see me. I just don't understand it. They want to hear you. So
I don't think so. But
no, I do. I look at the stats. I'm a numbers guy, and I can tell you this: that when you're on the show, our numbers do better. When you're not on the show, people don't care about what I have to say.
It's true.
I look at the numbers. So, a story from a hopefully future guest, Cam Edwards, over at Bearing Arms. He's highlighting how activists are pressing Biden to enact his anti-gun agenda. Again, this is at BearingArms.com. There's a section here where, let's see, let's start with here. This is actually something from the Biden administration itself. Yeah, let's go start with White.
So while the White House focuses its efforts on the pandemic, lawmakers working on gun control have been left waiting for signals. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, said he plans to reintroduce his universal background check bill in the coming month, though he wants to see a plan from the Biden administration first. Quote, "I don't think anybody's going to move forward on strategy without hearing from the White House," said Murphy, who plans to speak to Rice this week. Murphy himself has said he supports Biden using his executive authority to tackle gun control. But if Democrats are going to pursue legislation, quote, "our best chance to pass a background checks proposal is this year. I don't want to have to wait for a mass shooting."
But according to Cam Edwards, who's replying to this snippet, he says,
"Hopefully you were waiting for a really long time, buddy."
Yeah, let's hope for, let's hope it doesn't happen for
ever.
Yeah. So read what Cam's perspective is, those two paragraphs.
So I hate to say it, but I think that's exactly what Biden is waiting for, a tragedy playing out on our television screens and social media that he hopes will have the effect of galvanizing voters, even temporarily, to back his gun control agenda in the name of public safety. There's one more possible reason why Biden has been slow to act on his legislative gun control agenda. He knows it's a political loser. Biden witnessed the political aftermath of his 1994 gun ban, and I'm sure he still has a few memories of his Democratic colleagues going down to defeat in the 94 midterms, still rattling around his cobweb-filled brain. Imagine the political devastation that would come from using a 51-50 vote to enact a far broader ban on the American public, all while gun sales are at record highs. Concealed carry applications are soaring, and millions of Americans are embracing their Second Amendment rights for the first time in their lives. How true is that?
It is true. You know, I mean, we saw it before the election, during the election, after the election, gun sales skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't even tried to buy ammunition because it's futile out here in California. You can't find a gun store that's carrying enough ammunition. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. But technically speaking, it's a good problem to have if you are a Second Amendment advocate. That means that people are stocking up. That means that people are gearing up, you know, preparing to to be ready to defend themselves, whether it's against crime or against tyranny from government, against foreign or domestic foes. Mm-hmm. You know, we as gun rights supporters should be encouraged by these signs, because the more guns that are bought, the more ammunition that's bought, the harder it's going to be for the Democrats to pass their legislation. But again, the key thing that he says here, Cam Edwards over mm-hmm. at Bearing Arms, he says that galvanizing voters even temporarily to back his gun control agenda. Look, we've seen this play out over and over again. Okay, anytime there's a mass shooting, all mm-hmm. of a sudden, you know, the anti-gun groups, they pounce and they stir up a lot of emotion, a lot of outrage, and then social media reacts appropriately. People, they become concerned. Even people that normally aren't concerned, they start saying, well, maybe background checks wouldn't be such a bad thing. And invariably, well, I shouldn't say invariably, but in the vast majority of situations, it was not a need for more gun control laws. It was a need to enforce the gun control laws that are already in existence. Okay. We have plenty of laws. We have laws that can protect the people if they're properly enforced. Time after time, we're seeing that they're not enforced. And that's a challenge. We don't need more laws on the books. If anything, we need less. But that's a whole other discussion. I know we're not going to get into having less anytime soon.
Well, and, you know, sadly, this really started making some headway. Unfortunately, I mean, they had been trying to advocating for gun control for, you know, decades. But especially after Sandy Hook, at least in recent memory, they really started going after it like really, really hard. And that's when we really saw a lot of conservative or Republicans who once supported, like, you know, the NRA, they were supporting gun rights, started to get pushed back very hard and giving in and saying, okay, well, maybe we can maybe extend it to this and that and the other. And then others coming out and saying, well, we'll just do background checks and we'll continue to do, well, it's already on the books. So, I mean, it's just enforcing what's already there. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's usually when it involves kids, and that's what, God forbid, that's how they really can push people. Now we see the spirit of fear, you know, lingering, especially since the pandemic. And we've seen a lot of the left, far left, use that to their advantage. And we've seen it with cancel culture specifically. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, and I think they would, you know, I don't know if I should say this. I mean, strike while the iron is hot.
That's what they do.
Right. But I mean, there's been so much of the cancel culture. There's been so much of this push down our throats. You know, people will eventually, I think, start to just, you know, roll their eyes and say, right. Okay. Yeah. We've heard it all before. Right. Right. Okay. Okay. I'm a racist. I'm a bigot. Oh, I'm white. So forgive me. You know, whatever.
But move you're on. White?
Yeah. So, you know, let's move on, you know. In fact, I saw a headline today, a British athlete refused to kneel during a game, saying that he's enough is enough with this BLM stuff. So I think you might start to see people get a little tired of this. So I'm hoping that nothing bad happens, obviously, but I really don't see any other way that they're going to be able to. I mean,
well, they can't. They can't pass it. I should go ahead and note real quick that today's show is brought to you by Special Ops, the guys over at MiddleAmericaMedia.com. They've got us on now 8 television stations, I believe, as well as, I don't know if it's up yet or if they're still working on cloud TV. I need to ask him. You know, he mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know if you're watching this on Cloud TV. Hey guys, hey, we're, you know, thanks to the pandemic, we're kind of left in the dark out here in California. Sometimes we just we're stuck in our lovely virtual studio. So that's that. Also, of course, shout out to Freedom First Network, where these shows will be published very, very soon. As soon as I can get around to it, we will be doing that. I did a site update. We are not on Spotify. Yeah, this is cancel culture. Spotify.
Neither are a lot of conservatives.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny because I've been trying to find. It's like, well, I wonder if they canceled these guys. And no, they're still there. What about, nope, they're still there. No, I think we're one of the unique ones.
Yeah, we were in the outside of the Trump banning. You know, that was, I guess you call that the first round. We were, well, actually, he's like the first. And then it was the first round after that of people. And we were amongst them. So
well, we got banned the day that Trump did on
what was it that
we actually no we got banned actually 3 hours before Trump did. We were banned in the Sidney Powell batch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought Trump was banned the day before that.
No, he was banned.
Oh no, it was a threat.
Yeah, we were banned, and then Sidney Powell was banned at the same time, and then a few hours later Trump got banned.
Yeah.
So all of my whining and complaining that day amounted to nothing, because, you know, suddenly Knock Report getting banned on Twitter was a little bit less important than the president of the United States getting banned on Twitter. So shout out to Freedom First Network, where we will be. So this article here, one of the things that they talk about, he goes into a little bit of detail about some of the things they're talking about. Obviously, universal background checks. There's one in particular that I thought was kind of interesting. It's because I hadn't actually heard this before, and I hope I can find it real quick. There we go. So among the executive actions under consideration by the administration is one that would require buyers of so-called ghost guns, which are homemade or makeshift firearms that lack serial numbers, to undergo background checks, according to three people who have spoken to the White House about their plans. Now, those of you out there right now who know anything about gun laws and guns in America and ghost guns or homemade guns or whatever, you're probably scratching your head that this is being considered because, well, let's go ahead and explain it to them.
Either Politico has bad information from the White House or the reporters don't understand how federal law actually works. But it's already against the law to sell an unserialized or homemade firearm. It is not against federal law, however, to build your own gun.
And it should never be against the law to build your own gun. I'm not going to get into the details about what can be sold, you know, what is considered a firearm. Under the Gun Control Act of 1968, you know, what can be sold, you know, complete pieces and how people can manufacture those, because that, you know, if we're going to get canceled, I don't want to get canceled over technicalities. And that's one thing that apparently is taboo on certain sites such as Facebook. They don't like you to talk about how to build a gun. So we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
Well, we will continue with the concept that, yes, you can, as an American citizen, you do have the right, according to federal law. There are jurisdictions where you cannot, okay, including Los Angeles, near where we are. There are jurisdictions where you cannot build your own gun, but most of America you still can. And that's the type of thing that I mean, the founders didn't even consider that as a possibility, that you wouldn't be allowed to manufacture your own weapons. Half of the guns that were in circulation in the United States at the time were homemade. You know, so anyway, point being is that they're going after that. They're also going to be going for gun confiscation. This is the part that they were so fearful of. You know, this is where Beto O'Rourke coming in and being part of the administration. Joe Biden's having lunch with him, and he's like, yeah, you know, you're damn right, I'm going to take your darn damn AR-13s and 14s and 15s and 16s and all that stuff. That's not really what he said, but
no,
you get the idea. Yeah, they're going to take all of our guns, but those in particular, AR-15s, that's something that does have some mass appeal. I wouldn't say a majority of Americans would appreciate that, but all it takes is one mass shooting with a legal AR-15, and the calls will be very hard. I really wish that they would just go ahead and push the legislation forward. Push some variation of legislation forward. At least we could fight it then.
Yeah.
But they are not. We have a guest coming up, Mark Warner. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to step aside for me at that point. Not yet. Don't leave.
Not yet.
But then come back, because I want to talk about I want to talk about Texas.
Okay.
You want to talk about Texas?
Sure.
Good enough. So any other thoughts as far as our concern over the lack of gun control that has been pushed so far by the administration, by Democrats' control?
It is concerning that they haven't pushed forward. I mean, because that should have, I mean, you know.
Hey, he promised day one.
Yeah, that's their, you know, that's their What was it? I don't know what the thing.
That's their wheelhouse.
I was going to say shtick, but that's not even.
That's their shawarma.
No, but you know, it's always it's environmental, then it's guns, it's all of these things, and but we'll talk about the environment here soon.
We will, but first, you know what we want to talk about? Coffee.
Coffee. Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
Mm-hmm. Wish you were there. So, our last story of the day is something, you know, I've been thinking about tackling for a little while, but I haven't because so many other people have. But then we found a different angle to take. We're talking about Texas. The Texas freeze that caused death, caused people to freeze because power, the power stuff. Why don't you lay out the frameworks? I can't. Apparently.
Okay, so a week ago, a little over a week ago, Texas was hit with a really bad, a historic winter storm that moved in. It was on a Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon it started. And when we say historic, I mean it was bad. They were hit with not only cold weather below zero, they were also hit with snow and freezing rain, in some cases sleet. It was really bad. So there was a massive blackout across Texas. I'm sure everybody's heard about this. Millions were without power. Even several days later, several million were out without power still. And then you've heard some pretty tragic stories of people freezing to death in their beds or in their chairs or whatever the case is. So it was pretty bad. And of course, people were asking, you know, what happened? Who's to blame? So Governor Abbott has been very vocal about pointing the finger, especially at ERCOT. Now, ERCOT is the energy... Commission of Texas. Okay.
Very good.
So ERCOT was formed in the early 2000s, I believe it was, and they are responsible for making sure everyone gets power. Now, they're not the utility company. Okay. They don't have, you know, gas.
They're plants. The infrastructure.
They're the infrastructure. So they basically are the ones who control, they manage, they're managers for all of the utilities. And as well as their financial managers telling them. So they're basically a neutral party, supposed to be a neutral party. So
they liken themselves to like the air traffic controllers. They don't fly the planes. They just get them from point A to point B, but they do it with energy instead of planes.
Yeah. Magnus is the guy who is the president and CEO. I think Abbott was coming out just recently asking him to resign. It was found out this week that several of the members, top board members of ERCOT were not actually even from Texas. So a few of those people have resigned. I don't believe Magnus has resigned. So, you know, obviously there's been a lot of questions and finger pointing and trying to figure out what the heck happened. So what did happen was that as soon as the storm moved in, because the temperatures were so low, I mean, extraordinarily low, the demand increased exponentially, but at the same time, the supply was literally frozen. I mean, on not just the power plants, or excuse me, the generated, you know, for the wind turbines, they weren't only frozen, but also some of the natural gas plants were having issues. And so, and generators were freezing up. So they weren't able to balance it out. And that's what ERCOT's job is to do. They're also there to make sure that there isn't major blackouts by sometimes having voluntary rolling blackouts. We know this here in California. They do that to stabilize the system. And so they cut off a lot of people's power during this storm in order to not have the entire state, or at least 90% of the state, in a complete blackout. According to Magnus, it was within seconds of that happening. And so they had to implement these voluntary blackouts to where the system could, you know, stabilize. And sometimes it lasted for days. And so basically he's saying that, yeah, we had to do that. And yes, it's tragic that people died, but there could have been much worse outcome had they not done that. So the question is now, why did that happen? And one of the big issues is that Texas is independent. They have their own power grid. Up to this point, for the most part, it's worked really, really well. But there's one difference between even 2011 to now. And I say 2011 because that was when a really bad storm came in and there was some issues, but nothing like this. There's been the implementation of solar wind and, or I'm sorry, solar power and wind turbines, lots and lots and lots of wind turbines.
Lots of wind in Texas.
Yeah. And so they froze up for the most part. Okay. So there are some people that have said, you know, well, they really didn't contribute that much. It was also the natural gas that they were also having problems. Their pipes were frozen. They weren't able to get natural gas to, you know, energy to the utility. So, okay. So we know that there were multiple failures on multiple ends, but the main problem that a lot of people are pointing out is that the reason why that this happened was because they weren't relying solely on nuclear, natural gas, and coal for their energy. They were also splitting it to wind power and solar power. Okay. So that took away some of the
stability. The main thing. Yeah. Yeah. So with renewables, such as when it's not fuel based, okay, when you're going based upon nature, because you know, technically speaking, you can say that nuclear is a green energy, and it's a very green energy, and it's mm-hmm. the best green energy, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. It's still a controlled energy because you can turn it up or down based upon demand, based upon need. With wind and solar, you don't have that ability. You know, you can't, if the wind's not blowing or if it's a freezing cold and the wind turbines can't turn, then you can't suddenly increase. If the sun isn't shining, if there's clouds, you can't make any of that stuff go away. We are beholden to the whims of Mother Nature, so to speak. Whereas with coal, natural gas, nuclear, you can say, hey guys, we need more energy. Can you pump it up? And they can pump it up. That that causes a problem. So here's the thing. You've got the climate change people saying that all of this is happening because we're not addressing climate change. You have the fossil fuel people and nuclear people saying, actually, it's the other way around. And they were even noting how when the wind turbines are in that kind of temperature, that they actually need energy.
Not even that low.
Yeah.
If they just get too cold, they have to warm up their motors.
Right. And so they actually suck energy from the grid in mm-hmm. order to do nothing. So when they're not moving, they're actually energy negative. But that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah. And one of the things that I want to point out too, is back in, I think 3 years ago, I think it was 2018, Magnus was talking about how to, because he did mention that there were some incentives to increase wind turbines in West Texas, where they receive a lot of wind. Mm-hmm. And he set up an infrastructure to try to incentivize these for implementation of wind powered, okay, or wind turbines for power. So he is partially responsible because now, by the way, they did receive subsidies to implement this green energy. And a lot of people made a lot of money off this. And he has even stated that ERCOT's position is not just, you know, just to manage, but they also try to help the companies make money. That's from his own word or from his own mouth.
Yeah.
And so
you have to manage profitability.
Right. And so, you know, it was like, you know, a big, you know, clap for him to, you know, good job to really implement the green energy into Texas utilities. But the problem was, as you've mentioned, is that you can't control, you can't tell the, you know, we need more power from the wind turbines. We need more power from the solar. You can't do that.
Not yet.
And so you have to split your utilities. So if you decrease the demand for natural gas, or you do decrease the incentive to use those type of power, that type of power, like for nuclear, coal, natural gas, then you're not going to be building any more infrastructures to support that type of energy, such as nuclear plants. I think the last time they built a nuclear plant in Texas, somebody mentioned it was from the 70s. I mean, it's been a long time since they've actually tried to increase. Now, Texas is a little different than the most of the country because Texas actually has higher demand than any other state in the U.S. Most states are actually going lower because of, you know, energy efficiency. But I think even as Magnus has pointed out in the past, that Texas still has a lot of industrial complexes. And so the demand has been increasing in Texas.
Well, plus you can use straws there.
Yeah.
You can't use straws in California.
So while the demand in Texas goes up for energy and decreasing the amount of reliability for natural gas for nuclear power, but trying to replace that with an unreliable green energy is stupid. I mean, to be frank,
so,
I mean, that's just, I think it was all led by incentive money.
But here's the thing. And let's be fair about this. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you say that this is a storm, you know, a once in a lifetime thing, this was a once in a lifetime thing. This isn't something that Texas was prepared for. Mm-mm. Even nuclear, which is the most reliable. One of the four reactors actually went down, not because it went down because of the cold, but because the water froze, the water that's necessary to cool the reactor. There was no danger. You know, it's not like it's going to have a meltdown or anything like that, but it did. It had to get automatically shut down. So they were down to 75%. The thing is that at 75% capacity, they were still by far better than any of the others. Natural gas, I think, was at 60% capacity, but you look at wind and solar, and they were down like 20-30%. Capacity during the most crucial time, mm-hmm. because they are inherently more dangerous. They're more fragile types of energy. The solution, I think, to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've done more research on this, but to me, nuclear, there's two solutions. Number one is nuclear. Nuclear is the solution. It is a clean energy. Mm-hmm. It is controllable. You could turn it up, turn it down, turn it left, turn it right. Okay. There's people talk about how it's not safe, and that's fear mongering. Okay, it is safe. It is safe, period. There have been very isolated instances.
One of those fields that contain all of those wind turbines, you just need one field for a nuclear plant.
Right.
I mean, it takes up so much land.
It's such a green energy, cost efficient, safe, and controllable. It is the perfect energy. But
I'm saying that the wind turbines
it's too good.
Take up so much land. Yeah.
I know. I think everybody knew that, but
so it does. He's right. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, no. So, you know, people wonder why are the climate change activists, why aren't they hopping all over this nearly perfect form of energy? And the reason why is because it doesn't fit their narrative. This doesn't fit their push for the Green New Deal, because if they have cheap, efficient, safe, reliable energy through nuclear, then they can't make all these millions of green jobs and bump up the the environmental efforts to get rid of straws and to go carbon zero. I mean, there's even ways. There's technology today that is more efficient than either solar or wind that uses natural gas, but with carbon collection technology. This is more efficient, again, and more controllable and safer, more reliable and everything than wind or solar. And yet they push against that too, because it's just, it doesn't fit the rest of the narrative, which is an economic narrative. That's the whole thing with the Green New Deal, is that it's not about the environment. It uses the environment as a smokescreen to push an economic agenda, a neo-Marxist agenda. We could talk about that some other day, but
there's one more solution
yeah. Real quick.
Oh yeah.
That is the technology to be able to store energy. Batteries.
Exactly.
Batteries, they're not efficient enough. They don't last long enough. Mm-mm. Even lithium ion batteries. They've tried mega batteries, basically. They're doing them in Australia. They're trying them everywhere. They can hold like 1/1000th of 1% of the energy necessary to make them sustainable. And even then, it's cost somewhere in the around $2.7 trillion to be able to do that, even on a decent scale, not a full scale in the United States, just on a small enough scale to make it viable. $2.7 trillion. I know that in the era of COVID, $2.7 trillion. That doesn't sound like a lot. We're already doing that a couple of times this year. But it's actually a tremendous and huge and unsustainable amount of money. But if we do improve the technology for batteries to mm-hmm. be able to store the energy,
yeah.
then that's a game changer.
That
makes it to where there's the whole grid system. See, the grid system is based on balance. Mm-hmm. You have to have approximately the same amount of energy coming in as there is going out. If you have too much energy coming in, that can break the system. And as we learned in Texas, if you have too low energy coming in plus too high of a demand, that also breaks the system. You need balance. And if you can store the energy efficiently and cost effectively, then that balance is not necessary.
Well, Texas is very, it's not a place that renewables should be implemented like that. Because first of all, if it's going to be independent, if its demand is going up so high, but it's also the biggest supplier of natural gas mm-hmm. and in the country, I mean, it has its own resources and it can very well, you take care of itself, which it has up to the point of trying to put in renewables. Right now, again, this was a storm, you know, once in a lifetime type of situation, but they wouldn't have had this issue had they taken renewables completely off the table and just relied upon what they can provide themselves, which is oil, I mean, between the nuclear and the natural gas and the coal. So, I mean, we wouldn't be...
They have more natural gas than anybody else.
Yeah, so it's not an issue of them being independent necessarily. It's an issue of whether or not they should have implemented the renewables right. In the first place.
Well, and they can, but again, we're not ready for it.
They're not ready to make it's, that as part of their... Again, you cannot rely. It's
right.
It's
if you're going to have a vulnerable... This system works. Their system works. Outside of this strange event,
right?
Okay, it does. Now, with this strange event that happens, should they take what they're doing now and just improve on it? That's what I would like to see. Okay, I would like to see them continue this, learn from it, and then just address the situation, the catastrophe of the future catastrophe where temperatures drop and yada yada yada. How do you address that better? Now, there's a better system in place,
take and
I
want
to. I got so much more to say. I want you to go ahead and say stuff for a while. Because you try to say stuff for a while, because I'm going to dominate the conversation here in a second once I start getting into localization.
Well, I really don't know how it can be improved upon if the main problem is the turbine itself, right? If it's not necessarily, it has a motor, right? And it can't function in a really cold weather. It actually takes energy.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. But one of the suggestions was that during the extreme months of either winter or even summer, that renewables are not even in the equation, right? Mm-hmm. So until we can get to the point where we can actually store that energy, renewables really doesn't make any sense. If you have renewables, if you could store that energy, then our whole our whole issue would be, okay, we have the technology to make wind power. We have the technology to make solar power. We have the technology to make hydro, which that's been around for millennia.
Technically speaking, but, that's close. if we're being transparent, hydro falls under the category of being more controllable to the point of nearly being like a fuel. In other words, you can regulate hydroelectricity much more easily than wind or solar. It's not quite as efficient as fuel based, but
but it's really far it's the lowest in terms of energy output.
Oh, so, because it's expensive to build.
Right. Exactly. I think Israel has actually been working on that for a long time, and they've been making some pretty good strides in that. But
it's expensive.
It's expensive,
but it's efficient.
I don't know how they would go about taking the renewables offline during those months, and how you can structure your whole utility situation. But I think that they should at least look into that. We sort of jumped the gun on the renewables because they were so incentivized, especially from the left. The whole climate change started really ramping up and getting global warming back then, early 2000s is when it really started to ramp up. And that's when, by the way, like I mentioned before, that's when ERCOT came into existence, was in the early 2000s to restructure all of Texas's energy. Did you want to go and dominate now?
I'd love to.
Okay. So that's all I have to say about that.
One of the biggest complaints right now is because since Texas is independent, a lot of people are saying, if they were on the grid, this wouldn't have happened. Number one, that's not true. Mm. Okay. They were having this type of weather in Oklahoma and surrounding areas that are on the national grid, or the regional grid, I should say. And as Magnus was saying, we don't know. As a matter of fact, we're pretty sure that they would not have been able to fix the situation. If anything, we may have been a further strain on them.
Not Magnus.
Was it not Magnus?
That was
I don't know anybody. The dude in Texas that was saying stuff.
At Depot.
Depot.
Murano?
No, there was. Oh, was it him?
Yep.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you're right. No, it wasn't him. Mm. No, it wasn't. It was Magnus, because it was in the interview where she was asking. Remember the CBS lady was asking?
Oh yeah, you're right.
I am right. Dang it! That's twice in one day.
And I broke your thought even.
I don't know. My thoughts are unbreakable. So people are talking about how localization, how Texas screwed up by being isolated. Here's the thing. Okay, in reality, what Texas is the beginning of the model for how energy should happen. Mm. We need to be heading towards energy localization, if anything else, not through a grid, because with the grid, you have the potential for cascading failure of the grid. In a situation like this, let's say that Texas was on the regional grid. There's a chance that this could have been much worse, not better. Okay. Is it possible it could have been better? Sure. Okay. But the grid, we're talking about a catastrophic amount of energy that was needed. We're talking about an event that really changed it was unexpected, not something that people can realistically anticipate, which is why it hasn't happened before. And most importantly, this is something that nobody's prepared for at any level, even at the national level or the regional level or the state level. That's why it was so bad. Now, could they have been better prepared? Sure, but that's at the expense of profits, because to be better prepared means to have backup plans. And backup plans, you don't make money off of an extra nuclear plant that's not being used most of the time, for example. Or, as you had asked earlier, how would you even take the renewables offline during fluctuating times such as very high heat or very low temperatures? You have a backup.
Well, yeah, they were talking about winterizing, but there's nothing you can do from motors freezing.
No, you can't. And I mean, you, there are things you can do, but it's not.
Without pulling from the grid.
Right. So here's, let me get to the cut to the chase here. Do we need to get everybody on a national grid? Absolutely not. That creates a single point of cascading failure. It makes us more vulnerable, not less vulnerable. What needs to happen is we need to be able to start localizing energy, and the technology is now there to be able to do this. We no longer need to have one mega huge power plant that supplies 4 million people. We can have you know, we can have localized, say, county by county. Big cities have their own nuclear plants. You know, if you start to embrace nuclear power, start pushing towards green, but not just, you know, solar and not just wind, they can supplement. But if you start really focusing on nuclear power, regionalizing it, localizing it, and making it to where, you know, this nuclear plant is responsible for this area here. This nuclear plant is responsible for this area here. Have them connected in a not a pure grid, but in a interconnected fashion to where they can still flow energy back and forth when needed. Now, all of a sudden, you have an ideal situation to where if there are problems, the system itself should be able to handle it, whether it's high temperatures, low temperatures, earthquakes, bombs, terrorist activity, whatever. Today, any of those things can take entire regional grids offline. And that is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord we haven't seen that yet, but it can happen, especially when we consider that Joe Biden has just allowed Chinese technology, including wind turbines, oddly enough, to become part of our infrastructure once again. President Trump had stopped that.
Well,
back in 2020, early 2020, he had put a hiatus on that. Now it's back. Oh yeah,
because they were talking concerned about how Chinese actually own some of the wind turbines.
They do. Their technology is part of it.
Receive subsidies.
They do. They get money from us because they supply us with wind turbines that apparently freeze in Texas. Yes, it's bad stuff. And as much as I want to get away from using them altogether, that's not going to happen under Joe Biden. So we need to be able to protect ourselves, protect our future, and that means, you know, localization. It even means, you know, I'm a huge fan of making sure that each home has the capability of being able to power itself in times of crisis, whether that's through generators. I'm not talking about prepper stuff necessarily, but in a way I am. They have the right mentality. People that were warm, you know, they were during this time, that were able to stay out of the cold, were able to do so because of their preparations. I think that small cities, big cities, they need to be able to handle this on their own. They have to stop relying on the federal government, stop relying even on the state government to supply something as crucial as power. There was a video that went around. You know, this is what people had to do to stay warm. They went up and down the street, and you could see everybody's car was running because that's the only way they could survive, was to literally turn on their car and sit there.
There were
in
people
their car with the heater on
outside grilling, melting snow because they didn't have water. There were a lot of people doing that just so that they could have water. Okay. And this was not just, I mean, this was happening all over Texas. I mean, they were having some major issues. No water. That was like the biggest, that was one of the biggest things, is just to think that you couldn't even get water, but it's a cascading effect. So what, it wasn't just that the people didn't have power. I mean, this resulted in pipes freezing, in water not being able to pump at the water, you know, at the water plants. You weren't receiving water. Mm-hmm. Okay. So no clean water. All right.
No heat, no power, no electricity.
Heat. Pipes were bursting, which compounded the situation, because then water was leaking inside homes, businesses were being destroyed. But more importantly, people's lives were in danger because not only were they cold, but now their homes were leaking and mm-hmm. ruining everything that they had.
Hospitals were flooded. Yeah.
It was a disaster because of freaking renewables. And it wasn't because they didn't supply the energy. It's because they in a state like Texas, and I do believe that they're incentivized, you know, trying to get green energy in there was all because of money.
Yeah.
But they put it within their infrastructure to imbalance the system in times like these.
Right. Well, it imbalances the system at all times, actually.
Yeah.
It's just that they've gotten good at juggling it. But why even mess with that? There's not necessary now. Just wait. This whole idea that we need to get everything fixed, you know, John Kerry's coming out saying we got to get this fixed in the next 9 years, you know, or else we're all going to die. That's BS. Okay. I don't want to see comments. Oh, are you a scientist? No, I'm not. But I know with a certainty based upon, you know, real science that we're not 9 years away from cataclysm, from global crisis based upon climate change.
What we do know is that in extreme weather, Renewables suck.
Listen, keep in mind, I want to be very clear.
And you have solar and you're able to, keep
that. We power. Are big fans.
Oh yeah,
for of sure. The environment. We're big fans of renewable energy.
Oh yeah.
But
I'd have solar all over my house.
But it needs to make sense.
Right.
It needs to make sense economically. It needs to make sense from a logistic perspective, and it needs to make sense during emergencies. Otherwise, you know, there's just too much reliability in fossil fuels.
I'm not a fan of solar. Or I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm a very big fan of solar. I'm not a big fan of wind turbines.
I mean, I have
seen the land and everything that it does. I mean, it's not enough power to justify taking up millions of acres of land with these huge... No.
Do you know why radical progressives love wind turbines?
Why?
Because they're monuments to the green movement. That's it.
Oh,
okay.
That's the very good point.
They're
not pretty.
They're pretty to them.
Driving through them.
I know. They represent. I mean, when on our way to San Francisco, you remember seeing that huge? Remember going through the mountains towards San Francisco? Mm-hmm. We saw this. I mean, it stretched for miles.
Oh yeah, back turbines, home.
And none of them were blowing. None of them were moving.
Back in Oklahoma.
That was ridiculous.
In Texas too, there's wind turbines everywhere. I mean, it's just for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. And the funny thing is that when the wind isn't blowing hard enough, they have to, they're on a, that's why in really heavy wind, you don't see them blowing much faster. They're controlled. Okay. So even when the wind's not blowing hard enough for those suckers to turn, they actually are programmed. Some will turn off, others won't, and they can change direction. But they actually use almost the same amount of energy to turn at that rate when the wind's not blowing, if they're actually turning at all.
Right.
And in some cases, you'll find fields of them not turning, you know, that is dead because there's no wind. I mean, it solely relies upon, you know.
Bottom line is we want renewable energy.
Yeah.
Nuclear.
Just reliable and hydrogen, not something that takes not been up properly so much explored. Land.
No, absolutely. Solar for sure. But even solar technology is not quite to the point to where it is properly cost effective. So we need that. The most important thing. It's
an option, I think,
for personal. Especially home. For personal, yeah. It's still expensive. People, I don't think, fully understand that it's, you know, personal solar, which I'm a fan of, but it's not as cost effective. In most cases.
Yeah, because it's at this point, it's still like you have to use as you consume. Consume as soon as you get it, you have to use it. It's mm-hmm. not enough right now. So basically that's what I was saying before is that we've built the things. I mean, hopefully wind turbines can be figured out somehow that because those are just ridiculous.
Birdhouses.
But our technology hasn't caught up to it.
Right.
To be the most...
We need to focus effective. On storage. If we get
yes.
cost-effective mass storage that stores energy and allows it to be stored for an extended period of time. Right now, the problem is time. They do degrade very quickly. You lose energy faster than you need to. And, of course, then there's the cost associated with it all. That's all very high. And it makes it to where... You know, you just can't do it.
Well, you have to
ask. But if we can, but there's a technology issue. That's something that can be fixed. We have to assume that in the next 50 to 100 years, that they will be able to figure out a cost-effective way to be able to store energy like that. And this is where I wish that, you know, if somebody comes up with a plan that shows, you know what, here's how we want to get to, forget about carbon neutral and carbon this and carbon that. If somebody comes up with a plan that says, here's how we get to true energy efficiency. By the year 2121, okay? Nice magic number, 100 years from today. If we can do it in that period of time, I would be all in favor of that plan because we do need to head in that direction. We just can't force it because when we start forcing it, mm-hmm. we have problems like we had down in Texas. We have problems like we have across the globe with the inefficient and technologically immature form of transportation of energy known as renewables.
Yeah. Well, and I think that they got way ahead of themselves. Okay. So Biden wants to shut down all coal and he wants to shut down nuclear, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I haven't actually heard okay, that so for the, sure. The I just is, assume it because the, like you the Greens to, hate nuclear.
Yeah.
Kills well, the narrative.
Well, you have to ask
Buzzkill.
Why didn't Texas build another nuclear
Why didn't Texas build another nuclear plant?
I really
plant?
Don't know. But then you have, when you have this new agenda coming along where green energy is forced upon most states and it's incentivized and they're getting money for this, even China, right?
China.
But
damn, I missed that guy.
So what happens when a nuclear power plant is no longer used? It shuts down, let's say.
Well, it looks like a couple of...
Yeah.
Private joke.
It's a local joke. Out there. Okay, so what happens to them?
I don't know.
Well, you shut them down, but then can you remove them?
Convert them into playgrounds. So I don't know.
That is one problem with nuclear power plants, is that when they're no longer used, or if they shut down because, let's say, they're no longer up to code, or they're just really old or outdated, for whatever reason they're shut down, you can't just, tear down a nuclear site. It's not that easy.
Okay.
It can leach into the ground. There can be some issues.
Power plant. Listen, you talk to old rancher Bob. You say, hey, old rancher Bob, you got 4,500 acres being unused right now. We'd like to put a power plant here. There's a chance that if it becomes obsolete or if anything bad happens to it, that it could be an eyesore and you can't touch it. It becomes basically, it's going to be this part of your land that sucks.
So
are you still okay with that, especially if we're going to pay you money?
We're not trying to say to build a bunch of nuclear
power. I'm trying to say that. I wish they would build a bunch of nuclear power plants.
They need to build at least
call Rancher Bob.
They need to build at least one more in Texas, obviously.
I think they should build small ones. I'd like to see mini. Yeah. Okay, so there's DARPA technology. Maybe. We covered it a few episodes ago. Did you watch that episode? Mm-hmm. The DARPA technology?
Oh, yeah.
The UFO files? Mm. Oh, that was good stuff.
Well, anyway, what I'm trying to say is that
personal nuclear devices.
They don't want to build anymore because their plan is that it will become obsolete. So why build more if, when we shut them down?
Because it would have saved lives in Texas and it would continue to save lives. But build more nuclear.
But they're shooting... They're way ahead of themselves. Okay. We don't have the technology. I mean, do you think that most of the people in this country, if we had the technology to store that energy and that we could rely on the wind and we could rely on solar in the good months, that it would supply us through the harsh months, no one would be against that, because not only would it be cheaper, we have something everybody can work with. We can actually have something more reliable. Who wouldn't want that? So, right?
But right.
They've gotten way ahead of themselves and we don't have that technology available. So they built the cart before the horse, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just not a viable option to go full, renewables. And that's it's not possible. So until then, for Texas, I think they should build another nuclear plant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was basically all I needed to say about that. Because that's all I was trying to get out. But yeah, what about the DARPA thing?
Oh, UFO patents, military stuff.
So you saw that was part of the COVID-19 bill.
No, DARPA?
No, but to release the UFO files.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, that was part of the deal.
Okay, well then let's do it.
That they had to actually convene into or something.
I'd pay $1.9 trillion for that.
We paid a price to get information.
Wasn't
on
Clinton
Area 51.
Going to Clinton was going to release those, wasn't he?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. No president thus far. Even there's
we
been presidents.
He was.
All the president. Trump was talking about doing
Trump,
that,
didn't he?
He did. Actually, he got them to do some of the declassified.
Build nuclear, release the UFO files.
They've never existed. They're just something.
Eat more chicken. Yeah, there we go. And that's the other thing is that Bill Gates was pushing his climate change agenda. Did you see that?
Oh my gosh.
Wanting us to eat only synthetic beef because cows fart and stuff.
So rich countries should be 100% beef free.
Yeah. He even acknowledged you get used to the taste. No, I won't. I've actually tried it before. I have tried when I had a high cholesterol, I actually tried.
It's called the Impossible Burger and it's actually impossible to eat.
You know what? I don't, but some people, a lot of people eat it. We can't.
Fine, but you don't need to, don't tell me that it's beef, tell me, don't tell me that we should, because we are a prosperous country, God willing, continues to be a prosperous country.
We can't
that
eat
we
cows.
Don't, we can't have cows. What is wrong with you?
God gave us cows for a reason.
I don't understand. I don't understand this guy. This guy is off his rocker.
No, he's totally on his rocker. He's part of an agenda. This is part of the Great Reset, okay?
Yeah, and gosh, how do we start talking about happy?
Start talking about Texas when we get onto Great Reset. But you're right.
I mean, guys, you won't, if you don't own anything, you'll be happy.
You know who likes
Marxism? No, if I don't have Marxism? To pay any bills, I would be happy.
You know who likes Marxism? Really, really rich people. They like Marxism because they think they're going to be insulated. They're going to be insulated.
They can afford to.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have the golden ticket when it comes time when, you know, when it all comes down, man.
They'll be in New Zealand.
I mean, that's, you know, sort of, that's, whatever.
We're getting goofy now. I think we should wrap it up.
I think it's fun when we get goofy.
I do think, I'm not having fun. I'm having fun. You're having fun. Are they having fun?
I think they will.
Are they?
Because this is what people talk about. We talk about UFOs, you know, when we're not always talking about the stupid politics. You know,
we never talk about UFOs. She's making that up, okay? Because they're going to actually believe you.
You know what I'm saying.
I mean, we have talked about UFOs before, but it's not like, honey, what do you think about UFOs today? Did you see that UFO yesterday?
Seen a UFO.
You say, no, I didn't see it because I was taken up by one. We did see a UFO on our way to.
And it wasn't just a light flashing across the sky.
No.
And the sucker landed.
You know, and we knew. It's funny because we saw it. And
I'm missing time. I'm not kidding. I said that with a smile, but I am being serious.
You never told me about that.
I don't. Do you recall what happened?
Yeah,
once it went to the ground and then we looked and it was gone?
Well, yeah, then the F-16.
Oh, yeah, the jets. But once that, the jets, what happened?
We left.
But I don't recall.
Well, you were probably, so you I were looking at the video.
Huh?
You were looking. Okay, so we're on our way to California. We're passing through Arizona. We right around Phoenix, as a matter of fact.
No,
we see,
Yuma.
Was it Yuma?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Yuma?
Yuma.
Maybe I lost time, too.
It was around Yuma.
Okay, so we were close to Yuma. And
we're actually telling a UFO story.
We are. This is,
but it's real.
It is real. This actually happened.
I saw lights in the sky. There were about three and they were like really, really intensely bright, like a sort of amberish color.
Triangle shaped.
And I saw it flash and I'm like looking and then I saw it happen again. And I was like in between, I don't know how long between, not very long. And then it happened. I'm like, am I crazy? And he looked, and it was in front of us, but sort of off. And he looks like, and he saw it. And he's like, oh, wow, I saw it too.
That's weird.
And so we were driving in the direction of it. And then from what I remember is that then the lights, it wasn't just three lights. It was multiple.
It became multiple lights.
It became multiple lights. But they were really intensely bright, beautiful, like I said, amber color. And it was then... It goes over and we see, at this point, it's night, and we see over to our left.
We've pulled over at this point, by the way.
Yeah, we pulled over at this point, because then it's we're closer to it.
We've never actually talked about this before.
We haven't.
That's crazy.
And it lands, right?
Well, so it wasn't. So the lights were going, some were going up, some were going down, some were going left, some were going right, but then they all kind of came together at one spot, and it didn't look like they were landing. They were just going down.
Okay, that's.
But then they came back up, and then they shot across the sky.
Right,
and then we were like, wait, did that just happen? We're looking around. Where did they go? And then all of a sudden, at that very moment, we hear military jets. A couple of military jets.
At
we
least
see them.
Three, actually.
Yeah, and they a few military jets, and they just go flying right over us towards. You know, they were like giving chase to these.
And it was right in front of us.
Lights.
All happening in front of us.
It was funny because
I feel like missing time is that from the time that we saw it go down to the time the jets were there, I don't even recall. It would happen so fast. And it wasn't.
Yeah, they
it was right in front of us.
Okay, they spread apart.
Yeah.
They came back together. They came kind of like funneled down. but then they came up real quick, split apart, then flew over us. So we start looking around.
But the light,
and they were gone.
What
and
I then, can never, ever, ever forget.
2 seconds later, the jets zoom over us.
Is the color back. Of the lights. I've never seen that color.
Amber.
Ever. But it was
amber, it orange,
was
so gray.
Bright. It was incredibly bright, but you could look at it.
Greenish, yellow, red. It was really.
No, it was just this beautiful amber color. I've never seen that color before.
So you remember the color. I remember the movement. The movement was what struck me because it's like that doesn't look man-made. And especially when they sped over us, it wasn't, I mean, we're talking about super, super high speeds because they were off in the distance, probably at least, 20, 30 miles in the distance, but very bright. And then all of a sudden,
they're in front of us.
Yeah. Like, they went over us, and maybe not 20, 30 miles. It was probably closer to 10 miles because if I think about,
well, we were going in its direction and then it landed, but when it landed in front of us,
you keep saying it, I think it was them.
It landed, what?
I think it was more than one.
You think it was aliens?
No, I think it was.
Oh, more than one. It could have been,
Yeah.
Because we couldn't. The thing is that it was. I don't know. But when
keep in mind, we don't believe in aliens.
When it went down, no.
Okay. We don't believe in aliens.
When it went down,
demons.
It was in front of us, like not even a mile, right? About a mile, not even a mile. It was like literally right, it was
the
craziest thing.
Yeah, when it.
I can't explain it, but anyway, we just tried to explain it, and hopefully you're still with us.
Yep. That was 16 years ago.
Was it? Mm-mm. It was a couple years before. That was a couple years.
2005?
It was when your grandma passed.
2005?
No. 2006.
That was 2005. Anyway, well, if that's the only thing we disagree on, that's a good story. So
it was because Gracie wasn't born yet.
Yeah, 2005.
You're right.
Well, I knew that. I'm glad that you agree. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong.
Stay safe.
God bless.